Hello and welcome back. I'm Amanda Goldston of www.learntarotonline.com. I hope you've been enjoying practicing with the cards we've covered so far, which are the cards of the Major Arcana and the Cups cards. So welcome to this class on the Suit of Wands, which we're going to talk about in a little moment. First of all, I'd just like to talk to you a little bit about asking questions of the cards. The clearer you can be about what you want and what you want to know, the easier it's going to be to get a meaningful answer and some helpful guidance. And the thing to remember is that the cards cannot give you advice. They cannot make decisions for you. The most common questions I've found are often questions that people think require a direct yes or no, such as, will I get that job? Will he ask me out on a date? Should I move house? Is my daughter going to pass her exams? Is my boyfriend cheating on me? Should I marry that man? That's another variation of the will I, is it type of question, is the should I. You need to be very careful when trying to answer a yes-no type of question, because very often there is much more to the situation than a simple, straightforward yes or no. And often when people phrase the questions, they actually ask the questions in two different ways. So often the answer could be yes to part of the question and no to the other part of the question. And also asking those kinds of questions tends to presume that our future is fixed and that there is nothing we can do about it. Whereas such as, shall I move house? Will I get that job? Will I get married? Those are not questions, really, that have a simple, straightforward yes or no to them, because they are questions that really only you can decide through your own willpower and decision-making and free will. Better questions to ask would be, what would be the likely outcome if I did this or did that? And then you can look at the likely outcome and make changes as appropriate, because the cards are assuming that you don't make any changes. Or perhaps another type of question would be, what do I need to know to make a decision about that? Or maybe, what would be most helpful for me to know either about my present situation, or actually what would be most helpful for me to know about my day in general? Maybe what would help me move forward in this situation? How can I improve communication? And remember, when asking these sorts of questions, we can't change the behaviour of someone else. We can ask for information about a situation and how it affects us and what we can do to change or alter that situation. We can ask about things that perhaps another person has already done. We must be very careful, though, when we're asking about what another person might do, because the answer that the cards give us is based on the facts and information in this precise moment. But other people can change their mind, and other people can then suddenly decide to do something completely different. Now, the cards can be a tremendously good way for helping you to access your intuition, how to get good answers to questions. If you have a tricky decision to make and are wondering whether you should trust someone or what to do, the cards can help you to access your intuition to make the best decisions and the best choices for yourself. Now, it is very likely that you already know the answer in your heart to the question that you're asking. And it may simply be that life is frantic and you're not hearing the quiet voice of your intuition. Or maybe you're not trusting it. I've done lots of readings for people where they've not said a word during the whole reading, and they've listened to me interpreting the cards, perhaps not even been very forthcoming when I've tried to talk to them. And I've got to the end of it and they've said to me, you've just confirmed exactly what my intuition was telling me. And that's really what we're trying to do with the cards. When you have got a question to ask, follow the relaxation exercise, do some gentle breathing, breathe out anything that doesn't serve you, and breathe in love and peace and clarity. And just calm yourself, calm your space, and ask that the answers that are coming to you will be for the highest good of all concerned, and particularly for your own highest good. And ask that those answers come from a place of highest love and highest truth. And when you feel kind of calm and relaxed and you've got your question in mind that you want to know, phrasing it as what would be most useful to know, what do I most need to know, what would most help me, things related to you. Pull out two or three cards, or however many seem appropriate to you, and trust that the answers will be the correct ones. And go with that immediate feeling. As you're looking at the cards, notice the colours, the pictures, notice how you feel as you look at the cards. Notice what the pictures seem to be trying to say to you. And it's very important that if you've asked a question and you're focusing on it, that you allow the answers to come through. At this point, especially if you're reading for yourself, it is very important that you don't just sweep up the cards and say, can't be that, obviously wasn't that, that wasn't the right answer, couldn't have shuffled them properly. It's very important that you don't do that, because whatever's gone down as your first cards, as long as you've shuffled them and cleansed them properly before you started, will be right for you. However challenging those answers may be, however much you may not particularly want to see them or hear them, but if you can allow those to be the guide that accesses your intuition, your inner wisdom, to give you the answers you need for your situation in this moment, and go with that immediate feeling, because that will be right for you. You can always look up the meanings in this book after you've done that, if you'd like some further insights or perhaps additional distinctions. So let's have a look at the Suit of Wands today. The Suit of Wands is about energy and creativity. It's an action-based suit of cards and often represents work or business. These cards are about taking creative ideas and turning them into reality. They may be, alongside being work, they may be hobby-based projects that a person is passionate about, maybe charity or voluntary work. Just because there is energy going into projects, it doesn't always mean that there is money associated with them. Certainly if it's a job or a business, we would like to see money there as well, if our livelihood depends on it. In astrological terms, the suit corresponds to the element of fire, which is about making things happen. The element of fire is associated with the signs of Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. The self, the ego, and external appearances can be very important to fire people, as can the need to be the centre of attention. On the positive side, the types of qualities associated with wands and fire are energy, passion, creativity, big vision, drive, enthusiasm, generous, originality, leader, loyal, hardworking, outgoing, happy, cheerful, optimistic, sunny disposition, courageous, adventurous, self-starter, persuasive, action-oriented, making things happen, and high expectations. On the negative side, there can be impulsiveness, not thinking things through thoroughly, blind optimism, excessive risk-taking, fiery temper, selfish, lacking tact, arrogant, intolerant, maybe a bit of a drama queen, or I'm not quite sure what the male equivalent would be, prone to exaggeration, intolerant, impatient, big ego, a real know-it-all, inability to listen, and maybe take on too much and inability to delegate. Sometimes you'll find that, particularly with the wands, if you get them in the reversed positions, you may find that the energy of the card is blocked. But you may also find that a lot of those negative aspects of the fire sign will be present in the energy of the cards as well. In the pictures, all the wands are shown as wooden poles with little leaves sprouting out of them. This is new life, new growth, and new things sprouting out, even when the whole situation around may look a little bit grim. So let's start with the Ace of Wands. So if you get the card out of the deck, or have a look at it on the screen or in the picture in front of you. In the picture here, we can see a hand coming out of a cloud, grasping a wand with new leaves sprouting out over it. And it's out in an open scenery. You've got a river which is representing water and emotions flowing in the background, and a castle on the hill. Aces are the cards of new beginnings. Creativity, and this, the Ace of Wands is about creativity, action, innovation, confidence, courage, new things being offered, a symbol of possibility. Now, this may be a new job, new opportunity, new business. It may be an opportunity within an existing job, such as a promotion. It can also be a project which will give opportunities for creativity, self-expression, development, power, initiative, and moving forward. I have frequently seen the Ace of Wands come up in a reading where it's had all those wonderful new beginnings. It's represented maybe a promotion or a new business or a new project for somebody. There's been a distinct absence of any pentacle coins or coin cards around it, but yet it's been something where that person has had an opportunity for growth and expansion. Perhaps it may also be a creative project that someone's working on. It's a card of openings, of beginnings. There's huge amounts of creativity and passion towards something that you really want to do. This is very much a time to act decisively. Grasp the opportunities that are in front of you. You have access to the resources you need, or they'll open up as you're going along. It's time to take the first step and set the ball in motion. As you can imagine, when you see the Ace of Wands coming up next to cards like, for example, the Fool card, setting off on a wonderful new journey, a new project. You've got the Ace of Wands next to it with new openings, new beginnings. Next to the Magician card, for example, you would have somebody that's got new opportunities and all the talents, abilities, capability that they need to move forward with something. If you had the Ace of Wands, say, for example, next to the Devil card, you might have somebody that has new opportunities. However, there are going to be perhaps a new contract by the Devil card, but also maybe further commitments, further things that whilst the opportunity itself looks great, there may be things that they're being asked to commit to or take on board, which possibly might just take the edge of the Ace of Wands off a little bit. So again, as we're going through these cards, take them and lay them beside the cards that we've already had. And just kind of see how it changes the picture. Next to the Empress, for example, it would be saying, well, it's going to unfold. It's going to turn out better than you've expected. You might have the Ace of Wands, say, next to the Two of Cups, which is perhaps then a business partnership between two people who are friends, or an opportunity to create something, to develop something. If you had, say, the Ace of Wands next to the Lovers card, this could well be a new project, a new opportunity opening up between people where there is not only a huge synergy, there's also perhaps a physical attraction, might even be a husband and wife going into business together. So as you're putting the cards down with each other, just kind of play with some possibilities in your mind. Just kind of look at them and think, well, what could that be? What's happening in that situation? And just start to almost build up scenarios with it. Could it be something that relates to you? Does it relate to other people? And just start using your creativity, your imagination. Tarot cards, in a way, when you're reading them, can almost be like making up a story for a child, where you've got pictures and almost the game where somebody starts a story with a picture or with a line or something from a story, and the next person has to continue that story. And this is very much what's unfolding with the cards, because there is no right and no wrong with it. It is very personal and very subjective. And as long as you make sure that the responsibility for making decisions and taking action lies with the person that's asking the questions, and if you've asked that all the information's coming through for the highest good, you can just be the channel for that without taking on board other people's responsibilities. Moving on to the Two of Wands, here we see a very richly dressed person that's clearly quite successful from a worldly perspective, with rich kind of brownie reddy clothes, standing on the parapets of a castle quite high up over the landscape, looking out over the landscape. He's holding one staff in his hand and the other one is fixed to the wall, and holding the globe, a world, in his hand. He's an interesting figure because in some ways he seems to have everything. He seems to be quite content, but yet in other ways perhaps there's almost a little bit of a wistful longing there. The types of words you'd expect with this card: personal power, strength, success, support, maybe a little bit of the restlessness. kind of having reached the goal, holding the world in your hand, a little bit of sort of, well, what next? Where do we go from here? Now, this may be earned success, things brought about by your own efforts, maybe help and support from affluent people. It's a card of personal power, strength, courage, personal success. As it's a card of power, it may be you that has the power, or it may be someone else has it that is coming into your life to help you. Perhaps someone else looks up to you as a means of opening doors to them, or the other way around. And it is also important to consider the influence that material power and success plays in your life. Are you driven just by the external success? There is some contentment for what's been achieved, and yet the person seems to be looking for new opportunities, for stimulation, maybe restlessness, perhaps moving. There's a choice between what's fixed and stable and known, and perhaps moving off into new pastures. Inevitably, the two cards seem to have a certain element of choice to them, a choice between two different things. And this is certainly one with this particular card, is you've got the aspects of the influence and the support, and then the little bit of restlessness. So again, it is important to look at what you've got around that. I mean, certainly if you had the Two of Wands somewhere near the Fool, I would say somebody has a great yearning, a great restlessness to go off and do something completely different with their lives. There's almost the phrase of the book titled The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari kind of comes to mind. The next card is the Three of Wands. The Three of Wands is quite, isn't it? It's again an interesting card because you have somebody who is well-dressed, but doesn't seem to be anywhere near as affluent or as content as the figure in the previous card. And he's standing with his hand on one of the three wands, looking out over to the distant horizon and the ships on the sea. Looking at the goals, looking at kind of where he's going, and with his back to the world. Now, if you notice the colours, you've got a lot of the yellows, which is again about the self. You've also got a lot of the reds, which are to do with material things. This, again, is one of the cards that seems to have quite a lot of different meanings, depending on who you talk to. The wands look as if they're supporting him. He certainly seems to be on some sort of journey, doing his own thing. He's pausing to contemplate the goal in front of him, so there certainly doesn't seem to be any looking back. This is a person that is making their own success, and realise they need to take action for something to happen. And it is very much a card of courage, of blazing the trail, of setting the way to go. It's a card of vision, of seeing the big picture, taking a long-term view of matters. And I tend to find this card comes up a lot when someone has applied for a loan or a mortgage, or is looking for some sort of assistance from someone else to further their plans. They know exactly what they want to do. They don't necessarily need any input of ideas from people, but sometimes that cooperation, support from others is actually what's quite needed. I tend to look at this card as well as a card of leadership, as being the first to blaze the trail into uncharted territory. And I would tend to say to people, if they've asked for some sort of support, it's coming. However, kind of be courageous and move bravely into those new areas. Set things in motion, do your own thing and in your own way, and you will attract the resources and the support to you on your terms. And this is something that is very important with this card, is that there is no kind of begging or neediness with it. Yes, they are willing to accept support from others to help them on their route, but it's on their terms. And that's something really quite important to remember with the Three of Wands. Our next card is the Four of Wands. And this is another one of those really lovely, bright, sunshiny, happy, enthusiastic type of cards. Very yellow, which is again a lot of the sunshine. It's the source of energy. You've got four wooden poles with garlands tied up between them. You've got what looks like a celebration. There's figures celebrating, dancing. You've got the town in the background. This is a card of marriage, potentially, partnerships, celebration, success, with the four poles and the four corners, it can physically represent the four walls of a house or a home. It can be a successful business partnership, a successful marriage, maybe friends going into business with each other. It's about doing something creative rather than just thinking about it. This can also be a successful participation in a club or a hobby. There's balance, unity, cooperation, harmony, teamwork. It may be relating to projects in the home and successful things to do with that home or that physical building. And again, that's very important to notice the cards around it. If you have something like the Empress card, then I would say that it is a very successful project, will probably be more successful than you've anticipated. And it's also relating to happiness and stability within the home. If you have something, say, like the High Priestess that comes next to the Four of Wands, I would say there is success there. There's possibly quite a big but of things that maybe are hidden. Maybe that success is tainted a little bit. Perhaps not as clear and straightforward as you would like it to be. If you had, say, something like the Moon, that would indicate something very similar. Is that there are projects, partnerships, but maybe there's a need to be a little bit careful. Maybe things have not quite been revealed yet. So again, just sort of play with the cards and notice how different cards create different meanings. Now, moving on to the Five of Wands, and our mood kind of changes somewhat here from celebration and success to a bit more battling and arguing and fighting and things maybe not going as well as you would like them to. If you look at the card, you can see there are five figures with five wands that all seem to be sort of battling against each other. If you look at kind of the ones that are in the thick of it, some seem to be more defending and some seem to be more attacking. If you look at kind of the figure closest to the front of the card, he seems to be just holding everything off, but actually with fairly minimal effort. This is a card of battles, of bickering, of pettiness, discord, squabbles. There may be tempers getting very frayed. There seems to be a lot of aggression around you or directed at you. And I would tend to say to people here, if you think of yourself as the one closest in the card, where he's just kind of holding them off, he's not really involved, the best advice I would be able to give somebody with this card is deal calmly with the actual issues rather than attacking the people concerned, and you can find a solution. It's perhaps important not to get drawn into office or family politics. If there are battles going on around you, do you need to be involved at all? Or can you kind of just deal with a bit that affects you directly? You may well find that there is squabbling, backbiting. You probably need to put some boundaries between yourself and other people and the source of the anger and the fighting. Better still if you can distance yourself from it and just deal with what needs to be dealt with. It's very much a card of blockages, frustrations, and there really isn't any agreement or cooperation with this card. Now, moving on to the Six of Wands, again, we have a completely different change of mood. On this card, we can see a figure riding a horse, holding up a wand in triumph with a victor's wreath around the wand and also a laurel or wreath around his head, coming in to the sort of the cheering crowd. This card is about success. It's about victory, triumph. It's also about praise, possibly public recognition of your efforts, of your success. Projects coming to a successful conclusion, prosperity, earned success, there's triumph and victory, and it is as a result of efforts. And this is not necessarily about being triumphant over someone else. It's victory over yourself, your environment, and also allowing yourself to have a healthy self-esteem so that you can feel good about your achievements without superiority over others, because you don't need to do that. However, you can really celebrate the success and the victory. And then as we move on to the Seven of Wands, and we're back to battling, back to fighting, here we come much more into a very much more bluey type of environment. Again, the card being very blue. You've also got the water running through the middle of the card. And here we see a figure standing on top of a hill and battling off unseen forces, unseen enemies, unseen people that, or things, entities, whatever, that he, at the moment, seems to be in control of and literally seems to be on top of the situation because he is above them and none of them are higher than he is. If you notice as well, he has a shoe on one foot and a boot on the other, and the boot is standing in the water, which is pointing towards the need to be in control of the emotions in this situation. Although the battling may have a lot to do with the emotions, it may have a lot to do with things, with people attacking physically, mentally, emotionally. It's important to stay in control of that and actually deal with the issues. Now, certainly this figure seems to be in control, seems to be overcoming the odds, although obviously the battle is still going on. And it may be that he is in a strong vantage point, although he's got to stay wary. Now, this is ongoing battling. It might be a warning not to get involved with other people's battles unless it's really necessary. This can be someone attacking you or going into battle, you going into battle with other people. There are definitely power struggles going on here, and people may be trying to control you. You may have an unfair battle if you've got to deal with more than one person at a time. This may be something that you're doing on your own at the moment. Now, it may be that you need to deal with this on your own, or perhaps telling you to get some support. It's also a card of self-defense, and perhaps you're needing to defend your space or territory, put up boundaries or stand up for yourself. Maybe you just really need to defend your position and stand up for what you know is right and you believe in. This is a card of aggression, of defiance, of standing up for who you are, what you believe in, and keeping strong and sharp and alert, in control of your emotions, and therefore you're able to stay in control of the situation. The Eight of Wands. Now, this is an interesting card because it doesn't have any sort of figure in it. And it's quite reminiscent of the traditional playing cards where they don't have pictures at all. They just have symbols. So what you see here is eight wands flying through the air, looking as if they're all about to come down and come down to land because they're all kind of pointing downwards. This is a card potentially of travel. It often will come up with travel overseas. There is certainly speed, action, and movement with this, things happening very rapidly. Now, it may be that as the things are coming down to earth, that they're arriving at the goal or the destination. As it is a card of motion and movement, it is a time to take action, to allow things to move forward rapidly. And it may be that a period of waiting has come to an end, and that the time is ripe for a change. It may even be that you've been thinking and dreaming about a plan and signified by the wands in the air, which are now coming down to earth, take action because things are going to be moving very rapidly for you. And if you've got other cards around that suggest travel, maybe the Chariot or perhaps something like the Ten of Cups, maybe suggesting a holiday. But when you see the Eight of Wands, things are likely to be moving quite rapidly and quite quickly for you. The Nine of Wands, and we're back to a bit more of a battle-weary, battle-scarred, however, still fighting on type of card. Have a good look at the card, and what you can see is a figure standing in front of nine wands, which are kind of forming a little bit of a barricade behind him, perhaps between him and the unseen forces or the unseen enemy. He's standing there gripping the ninth wand in his hand, looking a little bit battle-scarred. He's got a bandage around his head. He's obviously suffered some injuries and suffered some battle wounds. However, although he's pausing, he's looking very suspiciously and very warily, kind of half expecting more trouble and more battling to come his way. And this is very much what the card is pointing to, is that there's been battlings. You've needed strength of will. Given the way he's kind of holding and gripping the rod, it would suggest that you've come through the worst of the battling. However, there are still battles to be fought. It doesn't look as if it's over entirely. He's certainly ready to take on anything else that may be coming and almost seems to be kind of expecting some more trouble. This card would tend to say you may be feeling wounded, maybe reaching the end of your patience. However, you're still standing, and you may still need to draw on your reserves to keep going, as the battling may not yet be finished. Pause, reorganise, give yourself a pat on the back for the victories you've won, and maybe prepare yourself for the next round. And although the matter is not finished, you are certainly a lot closer to the finishing line than you may think. You may even be as far, literally, as 8/9 of the way through the battle. This is a card often will come up with the other battling cards. If you find yourself in a situation where there are battles, whether these are verbal, hopefully not physical, however that can be the case as well, you'll often find that the 5, the 7 and the 9 will often all come up together, where there are battles happening, things happening, and you may find that you get a court card which comes up, which indicates whether this is battling that you are doing for yourself, maybe battling you're doing on behalf of another person, perhaps as a parent or as a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle. You may be battling on behalf of a child. You'll often see the court cards, which will tell you who the battling is over. And again, start to look at that with other cards around it. If you say maybe have the Emperor or the Justice from the Major Arcana, then you may have legal battles, official battles that you're dealing with. And you'd hope to see something like the Empress card next to it, which would say everything will be fine. It'll work out better than you've expected. When you've got the battling going on, cards again that you might see in the thick of all of this, you might see the High Priestess giving you a need to go within and check with your intuition. You might find something like the Moon, where there are potentially deceit, misunderstandings, perhaps deluding yourself, but maybe that deceit and misunderstandings coming from other people. You can begin to see with the kind of endless permutations from the cards how you can build up the stories and build up the scenarios, and each card is very much impacted and affected by what you see going on around you, what else you can see. And as we've talked about in the Celtic Cross, it can also be affected by the particular positions that cards fall in. I tend to find with my readings, I am less concerned with the positions that something falls in than actually what cards are there. The cards I would tend to like to look towards is obviously what the outcome is going to be and where that's headed. And maybe things like the Fears. But other than that, really, I tend to sort of look at the whole overview of the spreads, because all the cards are relating to each other and all are adding extra insights, extra wisdom, extra clarity to the situation. Now we come on to the Ten of Wands, and here we see a figure carrying 10 wands, and he literally has his head buried in the wands. He's carrying them very awkwardly, very clumsily, literally cannot see where he's going. He looks very overburdened, very overwhelmed. He looks as if he's trying to keep a hold of all of these sticks together and not drop any of them. He doesn't seem to realise quite how close he is to the town in the distance, and that if he was able to reorganise himself to carry those sticks more efficiently, maybe put some of them down, maybe put some of the burdens down, would be an awful lot easier for him. You could almost say that he literally cannot see the wood for the trees. And this is a card with a feeling of overwhelm, overwork, burdens, challenges, feeling very weighed down, feeling very oppressed. Now, this may be responsibility, overwork. The figure looks like he's taken on far more than he can comfortably carry, certainly in the way that he's carrying those things. Maybe you feel that way because you've taken the problems of other people, workload of other people. He really runs the risk of dropping everything. Now, it may be that he really does need to get some help. And sometimes it isn't helpful to wait for others to see that you need help, because you could be waiting a long time. This is a card of struggle, a card of doing things the hard way. And it may be that you feel so overwhelmed, so overburdened, that you literally are not seeing beyond the end of your nose and not seeing potential solutions to be able to do things more creatively or more efficiently. This can actually be feeling so overwhelmed and overburdened that actually creativity can be quite blocked with this card. And then we come on to the court cards, of which there are four. We have the page, the knight, the queen, and the king. And as we talked about at the beginning of this section, the page, the knight, the queen, and the king can have a lot of the characteristics of the fire signs. They can be very outgoing, very adventurous, very intrepid, bold, courageous, bright, sunny, enthusiastic people. They're very much the free spirits, if you like, of the zodiac. And they can, on the negative side, be very, they can be a bit egocentrical, a bit oppressive, a bit not seeing the big picture and kind of overworking, and also perhaps a bit dominant. Now, the page of wands, you see here a child all very dressed in orange, which is all very bright, fire-like colours, stood out in perhaps the desert or the dunes, holding a wand. Now, the page, as with all the court cards, can indicate a person, and it can also indicate a situation. So as keywords, you may find that you have a fiery child, a high-energy person, maybe somebody born under the signs of Aries, Leo, or Sagittarius, or certainly somebody with those very fiery characteristics. They may be someone who is a person who is younger or less mature than the person who's asking the questions. They're likely to be high energy, enthusiastic, free spirits. They can also be a bit impulsive, a bit restless, and rather prone to not finishing things. Page of Wands may be bringing news of some sort, maybe new opportunities to be creative, and will often bring you news that will require you to take action quite quickly. And this may be an opportunity that really excites you, perhaps rekindles your childlike sense of wonder, passion, and excitement. Now, if this card is bringing news of a business venture, it may be that the impulsiveness of it means it can be a little bit risky or perhaps not well thought out. So you've got tremendous high energy, fiery energy with this card. However, it may be, and although it's going to be important for you to take action, it's also important for you to actually think those actions through. Because otherwise just taking impulsive actions can end up causing you problems, particularly if you're not a particularly impulsive type of person. The next card is the Knight of Wands. And again, in keeping with all the rest of the Wands cards, we have lots of yellows, oranges, which are, the yellows is to do with the solar plexus, which is about the self. You've got the oranges, which is the chakra point below, and that is to do with creative urges, moving forward. And here we see a knight galloping at great speed through a landscape, holding a wand, and the horse actually almost looks as if it's smiling at the speed they're going at. The Knight of Wands, for me, when it comes up, often relates to property, a move, new property of some description, an action and speed being required. This is a person, a high energy person, who lives life in the fast lane, tends to do everything at great speed. It may be an unpredictable, headstrong, somewhat immature person who's prone to sudden changes, doesn't complete what they start. They're exciting, confident, outgoing, and fun to be around, but not really very dependable because they're off on the next project. They can be passionate and hot-tempered, can have a huge heart and may be very generous, but also a little bit tactless and sometimes a little bit hot-headed. As I say, it often shows up for me anyway in relation to property of some description. There is a real sense of urgency with this card, whether it's a person or a situation, and things really moving forward and happening quite quickly. The Queen of Wands, Here we see a very regal looking lady sitting on a throne with a cat in front of her, holding a wand with lots of symbols of the lions, sunflowers. And this is very much relating to Leo, the lion. Very much the yellows, the bright, sunshiny, outgoing type of person. And as a person, you often find she's a businesswoman. She may be about leadership, action, being resourceful. She shares the characteristics of the fire signs and will often come up as an independent, strong-minded businesswoman. She may well come up for somebody with those kind of characteristics, regardless of the actual sun sign that they have. She's a natural leader. She likes to shine. She's certainly capable of running her own business if she'll be in a position of leadership. She's enthusiastic, passionate, big thinker, generous, action-oriented, very energetic, loyal, capable, generally a good organiser. She's usually quite straightforward, often popular, makes friends easily, has a natural vibrancy, confidence, cheerfulness, and on the negative side can be domineering, bossy, controlling, impatient, lacking tact, may have difficulty delegating and believe that no one else is capable of doing the things as she does. You may find that the more negative side comes out if you have the Queen of Wands reversed. And as a situation, this can be a good time to look at your own resources, perhaps work on your own self-development, maybe educational opportunities around. This is quite a special energy around you, and it very much is a time to put plans into action and just get going. Just start with them. Even if you haven't got the whole plan in place, just put a surge of energy into it and get yourself moving forward. And again, the other cards around will determine whether this relates to a person or to a situation. And lastly, in the suit of wands here, we have the King of Wands. And here you see a figure sitting on a throne. Again, you have a lot of the oranges and the yellows there. Now, this is quite an interesting one because he's really the only one of the kings that seems to be looking in a different direction. So although he shares all the characteristics of the fire signs, I kind of wonder when I see the King of Wands, just kind of how comfortable he is in that position of that leadership of organisation. But that's just a thought. I think that's something you'll see from the rest of the cards. Generally, the King of Wands is a leader. You think of business, action, much of the same qualities as the other fire signs, high energy, go-getting, action-oriented, determined, forceful man. He creates results, is happy to bask in the glory that results from his success. Often courageous, loyal, not frightened to take risks. He tends to be more mature as a person than the Knight of Wands, and perhaps not quite so impulsive and impetuous. He may well have the fiery temper and the action orientation, and although tact may not be his strong point, he may pause for thought, perhaps even just marginally, before he rushes into something and takes action. Very straightforward. When something needs to be said, it needs to be said. Not generally somebody to hold grudges. He can be overbearing sometimes, but generally his heart's in the right place and he generally means well. It may be, as a situation, asking you to take action in a bold, fearless, courageous way, as the King of Wands would do. So that brings us to the end of the Suit of Wands. What I would say to you again is practice with the cards that you've got. Is practice laying them side by side. Practice again with the Celtic cross spread, which is probably the easiest spread to remember. There are several other spreads that we can talk about at a later stage. The Celtic cross one is probably the easiest one to work with because it gives you an overall picture and it also gives you different positions that the cards represent, so that you can come up with an outcome. So take all the cards as the practice. Take all the cards that we've had so far. Take the 22 of the major arcana, the 14 of the cup suit and the 14 of the wand suit. You've actually got now approximately two-thirds of the deck of cards to work with. You've actually got 50 out of the 78 cards to work with. Shuffle them all up, as you've done before. Then cut with the left hand, cut the deck into three. And then stack them back up together into one pile. Lay them out in the Celtic cross spread, as you did before. So put the first card in front of you as you, the situation. Take the second card and cross it over. So you've got a little equal armed cross in the middle of your table. That's crossing the situation for good or bad. Take the third card and put it at the bottom, which is the root of the situation. Take the fourth card and put it to the left, which is the past or influences that are just leaving. Take the fifth card and put it at the top, which is your goal and it's also the immediate future. Take the sixth card and put it to the right-hand side of the cross, which is as things are unfolding. Take the seventh card and put it at the bottom of the column, which is your fears. Take the next card and put it directly above that, which is the influence of other people and your home and environment. Take the ninth card, put it above that, which is your hopes and wishes. And the tenth card, and put it at the top, which is the outcome. Remember to ask your questions along the lines of, what would be the outcome if? What do I most need to know about? What would be most useful for me to know? What would be the outcome if I did this or that or the other? You've now got a lot more cards that you can work with. You've now got 50 of the cards. For additional practice of just interpreting the cards side by side, one of the other really useful spreads is called a Romany spread. And it's thought of as being the traditional Romany gypsy spread. Very, very simple. Shuffle up the cards and cut the deck into three, put it back together as one. We're going to lay out three rows of seven cards. The first row across representing the past, the next row of seven cards representing the present, and the next row of seven cards representing the future. You're almost going to end up with a continuous stream of cards. So start on the right-hand side and lay the cards across in front of you. So the first card is number one. Lay them across in front of you. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Then go back to the right-hand side. Lay the next row across from right to left, which is 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And then go back to the right-hand side and lay the next row across from right to left, which is 15 to 21. You can actually then read the cards along in a continuous story. From right to left, going across, just looking at the cards and how they follow on, you'll get a picture of the past, a picture of the present, and a picture of the future. You can then, if you wish, continue adding further rows of seven cards, which will then add further insight as you're going forward, further into the future, further things you need to be aware of. I have used that spread quite frequently if I'm doing a very quick overview reading for somebody. They haven't actually asked a particular question, but just to get an overview of what's going on in their life generally, the three row set a 21 card Romany spread, so three rows of seven, can be a very, very useful card, a useful spread to use. Because sometimes you will get people come to you who won't give you any sort of indication as to what their question is about. So sometimes starting with something like the 21 card spread can enable you to start off and just talk about what you see there to get a general idea. And if then you found you've hit on something particular, you can always then use the Celtic cross spread to expand on that particular situation or that particular question. So again, just practice with the cards, because you've now got 50 of the cards out of the 78 to be able to work with. So just start putting them together, creating scenarios, looking at how the cards relate to each other. You don't necessarily need to ask a particular question. Sometimes it can be quite helpful if you do, or sometimes it can just be quite helpful when you're learning just to shuffle up the cards, cut the deck, and just lay them out in something like the 21 card spread. So just lay them out in three rows of seven and just look at what's there and just follow the story along from one end to the other and see what messages are coming out for you. Because what you find when you are learning, there's actually a huge amount of healing taking place, and you'll be surprised at how accurate and insightful the cards can be for you when you're learning and when you're building this relationship with them. You'll be surprised what insights you'll get for yourself and for your own life. And also, don't be afraid to practice with other people, because when you're just interpreting the pictures and what you can see, you really can't go far wrong. And certainly as you're learning, you'll find lots of people quite willing to be your volunteers and your guinea pigs as you're practicing. Use that and just work your way systematically through it, and you'll be amazed at how accurate your readings are, even right from the very start when you're getting started, because you're building the relationship with your cards. Your cards are talking to you, so you're not needing to keep referring back to notes, which obviously you can do if you want to add extra insights, but just allow yourself to build that special relationship with your cards, and it really won't take very long. But again, the more you practice, the more you become familiar with your cards, the quicker and easier that will become. That's been our discussion on the Suit of Wands. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you are practicing with your cards. I'm Amanda Goldston of www.learntarotonline.com, and I'll be back with you again very soon with the next of our suits.